This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers healthcare on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Well, folks, we've been talking about this government shutdown. We're now in week two. Folks are saying that it might end by the end of this week. But what's also being revealed is the incredible cost of this shutdown. And here to talk to us about is Guy Williams, President, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. Guy, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. Very good to be with you.
So, Guy, we are now in week two of government shutdown. Your thoughts?
Yeah, we're in an interesting stage. The House has chosen to not come to Washington, D.C. I'm sure the House members are enjoying an extended break, but it puts pressure on the Senate to accept the clean continuing resolution. So right now you have three Democratic senators that are voting to keep government open: Angus King, Catherine McMassa, and John Fetterman. You also have the challenge of getting additional Democratic senators to move over. Rand Paul is voting no, and just because Rand Paul likes to vote no all the time. But the difference is Schumer is under tremendous pressure from his left flank. You know, they pushed him real hard. They've been insulting him. They've been saying, show a spine, don't back down, don't compromise. And one of the interesting things that came out of the meetings was one of the Democratic aides, you know, inadvertently said something that was pretty revealing, which was, we didn't bend at all. Well, it's hard to have any sort of deal if your position is there's no compromise. But I think that we're facing a crucial week. The president has been much calmer than people expected. The initial threat was thousands of government employees would be let go permanently. That hasn't occurred. The other thing that's interesting is, by and large, the national parks are open. Smithsonian is closed, but a lot of the parks are open, sort of visit at your own risk. And there are a few exceptions that are pretty interesting. West Virginia, Utah, and Hawaii have all secured funding to keep the parks open totally, you know, no interruption at all. So there may be pressure on other states. Say, look, this is a big part of tourism. The parks exist in your state. Rather than just leave them open without any services, why don't y'all fund them temporarily? The key deadlines, this Friday is the first paycheck. So that'll be the first paycheck missed. The 15th would be the first military paycheck missed. So there's a possibility of a separate bill just to keep paying the military, which would make a lot of sense. You know, the pain is real. If you're a federal worker and you have to work without a paycheck, it's definitely a cash flow problem. An awful lot of Americans live paycheck to paycheck, so the stress is real. You know, the uncertainty of not knowing how long it will last is a challenge. But at this moment, both sides seem dug into their positions, and we're not seeing a big movement politically in terms of opinion polls moving one way or another. Mostly people are blaming the House and the Senate, and, you know, almost equally. Just, okay, it's both of their faults. So hard to see how this ends in the short run. And, you know, as the longer it extends, the more things are affected. And, you know, we can talk about real estate and loan programs going on, but it's at this moment looking like it's going to be a little longer shutdown than people had anticipated, although some Republican insiders are predicting an end this week. And not because I'm pulling for Team R or Team D, but I'm pulling for an end to the shutdown. My personal favorite was the bill that was proposed, which would do rolling two-week continuing resolutions so that we'd never face this again. I think, you know, globally it's sort of embarrassing for the U.S. government to say we're shutting down.
Yeah, it truly is. Let me ask you about this. There's a number of reports that are floating around about the economic impact. Some are saying that this could have an impact on GDP from anywhere from $7 billion to $15 billion. When I hear this, I wonder if there's an undercurrent that, you know, whoever is deemed to be the holdout, right? Obviously, the Republicans are in power. They control both houses. They control the executive office, so they would own the economy, so to speak. Your thoughts about that, and also I think the CBO puts the number at $400 million daily for government employees not to work, which is a huge negative economic impact as well.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that's hard to put in perspective is how gigantic the U.S. economy is. The total economy is about $30 trillion. So those numbers in the $100 billion, $2 billion, I don't want to say they're trivial, but they're very small compared to the whole U.S. economy. So if you look back, we had our stock people at the bank analyze our government shutdowns, and they can't see that it really affected the stock market much at all. People tended to, if they had confidence before, they had confidence after. So the damage in a relatively short shutdown is small compared to the total U.S. economy. The longest shutdown we've ever had is 35 days. Now, we don't know what it would look like if it goes longer, but the numbers are so small compared to the total U.S. economy that they're just not significant. It's interesting. Atlanta Fed does a survey called GDP Now, and they're projecting that third quarter GDP would be well into the high threes, 3% growth, which would be very significant. It would show an economy that's in good shape and doing well. So the shutdown is painful, and I'm deeply sympathetic to the government employees who are asked to work without a paycheck. I have friends that are facing that. It's okay, how do we budget without a check coming in? And for the younger people or the ones that are in strained financial situations, that really is difficult. But in terms of overall damage, at this point, it doesn't look like large damage to the very big U.S. economy.
Yeah. You know, there's all kinds of ideas floating around, but I hear one thing a lot. People want to know, are the members of Congress actually paid during the government shutdown? I think the answer is yes, right?
Yeah, the answer is yes. And I think that's one of those things where just politically it would be wise for them to propose not paying themselves during a shutdown. It just looks bad. And, yeah, you know, the counter argument is, look, they're working hard. They're talking every day. They're trying to get this done. But for the average American, for people out just doing their jobs, it's like, you guys didn't get your fundamental job done. You didn't pass a budget, so you shouldn't be paid. And I would even suggest you don't get paid and you don't get repaid at the end. So if you miss 30 days, you just miss 30 days of pay.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I've heard other folks saying, why don't we pass a rule or how in Congress that come August, there are no other bills that can be introduced other than bills to deal with adopting a budget or resolving the 12 appropriation items that really make up the budget, and that's it. That's all that can be considered for like 60 days.
Certainly a good idea. The challenge is we've set up our system in the U.S. with checks and balances. In the House, every year when there's a new, not every year, every 2 years when there's a new House majority, the new House majority sets the House rules, and they can literally do anything they want. They can pass just what you've suggested, and that would be the House rule. In the Senate, you require 60 votes to change significant rules. So an idea like that would have to get 60 votes, and then the majority in the House would have to agree to it. Certainly possible. And, you know, our Congress does come together on things after a while. I think they have to wrestle with each other. And, you know, when they feel like both of them are getting hurt, then things happen. But unfortunately, there's not an easy solution to getting something like that done because of the structure of both the House and the Senate.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think most everyone is saying they think it'll be resolved by the end of the week. But if not, that's where, you know, a lot of bad things downstream actually, you know, rear their ugly head, right?
Well, they do, because the government is a tremendous enterprise, and you have to plan. It's hard to place orders. It's hard to have plans for the future. It's hard to do things like replenish military stocks if you can't do extended contracts. So if this goes on for a long time, it can become disruptive, and it can begin to slow down the economy. So it's the sort of thing that, you know, for the sake of the U.S., I hope they come together very quickly, and I hope that, you know, I think the clean CR makes sense. You know, on the Team D, when the Republicans did this the other way, they all said, look, we're not going to compromise basic government principles to end a shutdown. You have to pass a clean CR. So that was their position then. It's changed now. Team R does the same thing. You know, that we're not going to compromise. We have to do a clean CR. So it depends on who's in power. But I think the logic and the effect of the House staying out does put a little more pressure on the Senate. Now, if you see the House going back into session, I think that would be a change in the dynamic. So far, Speaker Johnson has resisted Hakeem Jeffries' offers to do a primetime debate. He's resisted his offers to come back in and debate the stuff on the House floor. He simply said, look, we've put forward the same CR that you put forward when the shoe was on the other foot, so there's no need for us to come back. So far, he's hanging tough in that position, but we don't know how long that lasts. And look, it may last till this is concluded, but at this moment, that's the position on Team R, and the position for Team D is, look, we need to fight harder and stay out longer.
Well, so one of the talking heads for Team D the other day, you know, came forward, and they were very blunt, honest about it, is we're exploiting the leverage that we have at the present time, because the ask that they have is a pretty big ask, right? When you're talking about an additional $1.5 trillion?
Yeah, the ask is really sort of out of proportion. I think this was located just in polling to see what can we hang our hat on that the American people will go for. And so the idea of health subsidies is what we're looking at right now, but there really hasn't been much discussion of health subsidies, and I'll give you an example of one that really should end because it's been abused. Under the extended subsidies during COVID, people below a certain income threshold could get Obamacare subsidies and have no premium. So literally, you don't pay anything at all, and you have insurance. Well, the insurance companies have exploited this and enrolled people with just a check on a box or any indication of interest, and they're billing the government monthly for people that may not even realize they signed up. And the reason I know this is there was a homeless man that ran into some trouble that I helped get relocated, and I ended up getting his mail and still do. He's now out of Louisiana, but he gets mail packages from a couple of insurance companies that have signed him up for zero premium care. And then periodically he'll get mail packages. Well, here's the testing kit for whatever, a certain cold or virus. And so, you know, this has been being billed to the federal government. I know that he has no idea he's getting it because he now doesn't have a forwarding address. And there are a number of cases like that where insurance companies are taking advantage of the zero payment. Because if you're not taking a payment, it's easy to say somebody's enrolled. And one of the things in the bill was, look, you have to verify this twice a year. I mean, that doesn't seem unreasonable that you verify it. And so making that permanent would be very expensive. And, you know, we've talked about this before. We've got a big budget deficit, no propensity from either side to reduce it. And this will make the deficit worse in the out years, particularly if you make these changes permanent. The other thing is work requirements. You know, this is not unusual. This used to be a pretty common sense solution. Bill Clinton brought this up and passed work requirements. And he had a famous speech, "We're ending welfare as you know it." And, you know, Bill Clinton retired as one of the more popular U.S. presidents because he was sort of standing in the middle where most people are and wanting poor people to be taken care of, but wanting the government to also be responsible, which is one reason why he was the last president with a balanced budget. So to ask for these subsidies to be renewed in perpetuity when we have a big deficit doesn't make logical sense. And I think that's one of the reasons that it's going to be so hard to reach a compromise until it come off of that position.
And yet we have not... No one has really actually articulated it the way that you just did, right? I mean, I've not heard it, where we get down to the granular level of what we're talking about that I think a lot of folks, whether you're a D or an R, would agree and say, well, yeah, I mean, these are kind of commonsensical things that we want to do because we don't want it to run amok. No program can run without some audit trail, some look-see, whatever you want to call it. You know, to make sure that the rules are being adhered to.
No, and I think that's part of the problem is because we've gotten into a new cycle of just shrill attacks, we're not really doing analysis. Okay, what changed? What would you want to change back? And how do we make this better? One of the things that I don't hear from either side is our health care is more expensive than any other country in the world. So we spend more per capita than anybody else anywhere in the world, but our healthcare results are not the best in the world. And I think one of the big questions you'd want to ask is, okay, why are we spending so much and not getting the very best results? And when you solve that question, you either get our health back to the greatest in the world or you reduce our cost to what the European Union is spending with significant savings. And we haven't really looked at why we've increased healthcare costs in the U.S. without really helping make America healthier. And part of it is just a lack of analysis. And, you know, it's more fun to have sound bites and attack the other side than to get down to work and say, let's try and work this out for the benefit of all of us.
And I think what's changed, too, guys, that, you know, in many respects, the media has kind of taken sides, right? It used to be they played it down the middle. And that's why I think a lot of these conversations were fostered by them playing it down the middle. But you don't see that any longer.
Yeah, and I regret people like Walter Cronkite, which I still don't know if he was a Democrat or a Republican.
Yeah, and I guess that's how it should be for the most part. Absolutely. All right, we got to get to a break. We're visiting with Guy Williams, president, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. When we come back, we'll talk about flood insurance options during this shutdown. It's a shame that we have to talk about this, but there are some consequences. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building
a life. For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Welcome back, folks. And just a reminder, tomorrow, Dave Cohen, WWL news director, and myself will be conducting interviews in all 3 hours of tomorrow's show of the sheriff's candidates that are running for sheriff of the Orleans Parish. So join us tomorrow, Dave Cohen and myself. We are joined by Guy Williams, president, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. We've been talking about the government shutdown and some of the implications. Guy, unfortunately, flood insurance happens to be entangled in all of this mess. Where are we?
Well, it really is. And flood insurance is important because in our metro area, 58% of properties are in zones that require flood insurance. So if you're a zone A, AE, AH, AO, or V, you have to have flood insurance to close your loan. So normally, and in years past, what this meant is you couldn't close. But an interesting option has developed over the past 3 years, which is you can now get private flood insurance. And it's available in Louisiana. The pricing is typically slightly higher than national flood insurance, although we have occasionally seen prices lower than national flood insurance, which is really good news to have a cheaper option. But in the years past, you would just have to not close if you were in one of those flood zones. But now you can get private flood insurance. It has to meet the secondary market standards, but there are brokers selling it. Your mortgage lender can help you with that. If they can't, the state of Louisiana has assistance on people that offer private flood insurance. So that doesn't stop things from closing, which is really good news for this area, because before it would really absolutely put a stop to things. Now, the other thing, and this will start next month, is renewals. You will not have flood insurance renewed if the government doesn't reopen. So at that point, I mean, we're, knock on wood, I think, out of the hurricane season. You may well decide, okay, I'll just wait a month or so and let the government reopen. If you want to carry flood insurance and not have any lapse in coverage, you can get private insurance. Typically, in past shutdowns, the government has, if you had flood insurance and it just didn't renew because of the shutdown, they covered you anyway. Now, that's not a guarantee. That doesn't have to happen. So it's something to be aware of. But the big news is you can still get flood insurance. You can still close your loan. Now, there's some loans that are not going to close. Rural development loans can't get a rural development number. So those loans are not going to close as long as the government shutdown continues. And same thing for SBA loans. So you can't get a new SBA number for a small business loan. And that's one of those things that, you know, if the shutdown goes for a long time, it begins to have a bit of a corrosive effect. And the same thing, you know, the government so far has not taken big actions to affect the economy, but the president did suspend funding for infrastructure in Chicago and New York in order to put pressure on the representatives there. Now, you know, a short-term suspension doesn't matter, but if it goes on for a while, then you have workers that, you know, can't continue their work and projects that get delayed. But the good news in lending, and particularly for us, is mortgage loans do not have to be delayed. You can still sell your house. You can still close your FHA, VA conventional loans, and you can get flood insurance from one of these private sources.
Guy, if you would, for the benefit of the listening audience, explain how important that is. I mean, you know, a lot of times I'm a big advocate of real estate professionals because the impact and lending institutions such as yourself, because the impact that y'all have on local economy, kind of the micro economy, as you will, is really, really important.
Yeah, mortgage lenders really are. They are in the business of making the loans happen. You know, real estate is one of those unique businesses where if the deal doesn't close, nobody gets paid. So professional real estate brokers really want the deal to work. So they're going to work hard to find an option that works to get you into a home. And the same thing on mortgage lenders. There's no payment if the deal doesn't go through. They don't get a regular check just for hanging around and doing nothing. So you have professionals that will provide good advice that can help you navigate a very tough time. And this is one of those things I wasn't even aware that the private flood insurance option was available until I checked with our mortgage group. And they said, oh, no, this is a new option that wasn't available last time. So, yeah, checking with a professional really is the right way to go. And there's no reason to stop if you found that dream house or if you need to sell and move. This government shutdown is annoying, but it shouldn't stop your real estate transaction.
Yeah, as if we don't have enough to worry about, though, right? The angst and anxieties that you experience for just life, weekly, monthly, or otherwise, to have these additional concerns to think about. And, you know, what's also interesting to me as well is we know that Congress is aware of the importance of housing starts and the turnover of real estate, because we know what the economic impact is. It's reported to them every month, right?
Oh, it is. And there's nothing more important to the economy than an active real estate market. There's no time in your life that you'll spend more money than when you buy a house, because suddenly you need furniture, you need lawn tools, you need moving expenses. Everything changes, and it also adds to the stability of a neighborhood when people move in and when people get settled and put down roots. So it's an important thing to keep the real estate economy going. And the fact that the flood insurance is not going to stop it, I think, is an important change from the last time we went through this.
Yeah, it's disappointing that this flood insurance issue gets wrapped up in this funding issue. And here we are in week two, and hopefully this gets resolved soon. If it goes any further than that, it's going to be real interesting to see what happens. But, you know, when you start looking at all the downstream implications and this being one of them, it's just really disappointing that we're not able to pull this out some way, knowing that this is likely to happen again next year, right? It could happen in a couple of weeks again. Who knows?
Oh, yeah, by year end. The bill that I really like is the one that said, look, we're going to have continuing two-week resolutions if you don't reach this up, but we'll never shut the government down again. And I'd really like to be in that position, because you just don't want to be in the spirit of uncertainty. because we have the threat of permanent layoffs. Now, the administration hasn't done that, but they've said if it goes on a long time, we're going to permanently lay people off so they will not get their furlough payments. And that's disconcerting to anybody that's involved and potentially could lose their job. But it's the sort of uncertainty that really clouds everything and is unnecessary.
Yeah, we'll continue this conversation when we come back. Katrina Success, how a downtown hotel saved two Banksy artworks. We'll talk about that with Guy Williams, president, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Stay with us. As we have our continuing coverage of the upcoming election, we will be joined by Helena Moreno on Thursday at noon, and we'll have Dave Cohen and myself will talk with Ms. Moreno for an hour. And again, tomorrow we'll have the sheriff candidates, Edwin Shorty at 10 a.m., Michelle Woodfork at 11 a.m., and Susan Hudson, the present sheriff, criminal sheriff for the Parish of Orleans, at noon. We're visiting with Guy Williams, president, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. Guy, before we get to the Katrina success story, let's talk about the job market numbers.
Yeah, we're in an interesting situation. One of the things that we don't get are Bureau of Labor Statistics numbers during a shutdown. So we don't know what the official government number is, but we have several private proxies that give us a good idea. It's important for perspective to remember we need to add about 100 to 150,000 jobs a month in the U.S. just to keep things going well. So ADP uses their payroll data. They say that we lost 32,000 jobs in September. Revion, which is a private data source that some hedge funds use, said we gained 60. Indeed, which has a listing of postings and open slots, showed a decline in September. So even the most optimistic number, we're below the 100 we need. If we look at the Indeed drop in postings, the ADP negative number, it looks like the job market is weakening. Youth unemployment is about 10%. Underemployment is pushing 8 to 10%. That's people that have jobs that are below the level of credential and skills they have. And participation is dropping for the 55-plus group from 39 to 37%. So we're seeing a weakening job situation. But what's interesting is the underlying economy is growing, and there's a suggestion that we may finally be seeing the effects of AI making companies more efficient. So if we're able to grow the economy and not add people, efficiency improves and productivity improves. Now, you hope over time that actually results in more jobs. But the biggest employer in the U.S., Walmart, has said they think they can keep their employment levels flat for the next 3 years by introducing AI across the company. So mixed picture, but not a strong jobs picture from anybody right now.
We'll have to stay tuned, but it's going to be interesting to see how we absorb that in our economy, right? I mean, that's a very troubling piece of information on many fronts.
Oh, it is. And normally when you have a new technology, after a disruption, the situation becomes better and standard of livings actually go up. So if productivity is growing, then usually our standard of living goes up. And fortunately, the U.S. is a leader in AI, but it's too early to tell. That's something we're going to have to follow very closely and see how this affects jobs and the future in the U.S. and also globally.
For sure. Let's talk about the Katrina success, how a downtown hotel saved two Banksy artworks.
Yeah, sort of an interesting story. Banksy came to New Orleans 2 years after Katrina and did 17 outdoor artwork. Some people call it graffiti, but he's one of the most famous artists in the world. And even people that don't know who he is probably recognize the famous little girl with the umbrella. You've got a little girl holding an umbrella up, and the rain is coming from inside the umbrella. That was a Banksy graffiti that he did here in New Orleans. Well, many of those projects disappeared, but there was one in the Ninth Ward. It was on the Fat Cat Bar, and it was a little boy swinging on a life preserver instead of a swing. And it's pretty interesting, a lot of notice, but somebody vandalized it. They spray painted it with red spray paint, and then the bar was destroyed. So you figure, okay, that's the end of that. But an unlikely trio came together, a guy named Ronnie Fredericks. Ronnie Fredericks is a dump truck driver. And he had noticed the Banksy, and he said, you know, that's a shame that that got destroyed. So he picked up every one of the bricks that had been spray painted red and put them in his truck and took them home. And he's actually moved a couple of times in the years to follow, kept moving the bricks. His kid said, what in the world are you doing? He said, no, this is a famous artwork. They said, yeah, Dad, it looks like a bunch of junk to us. Well, he couldn't find anybody who was interested in working to restore it until he talked to Sean Cummings, who owns the International House. And Sean said, well, you know, I already have a Banksy. I've got one that, of the National Guard in my hotel and love to have another one. And he said, well, I've got these bricks. And they looked at them, and just it didn't make any sense. They said, they're just spray-painted bricks. So they went to the most famous art restorer in Italy, a lady named Michelle Baglioni, and she said, this is impossible. You're asking me to take spray paint off of spray paint, because Banksy's art is spray paint, and then it was spray painted over. But she worked on it. She developed the gel method, and she was able to remove the spray paint. And she said, I've done it. I've restored it. They authenticated it. They compared pictures of these blocks to the original Fat Cat Bar in the Ninth Ward. They said, this is the real deal. And Sean Cummings brought the artwork back, brought the truck driver back, brought the art historian back, and had a preview party. But now you don't have to have an admission charge. You just have an interest in seeing art. You can walk in the International House and see two of the Banksy paintings restored on display right here in New Orleans. And before anyone says that's a plug, he's not a customer of ours. I wish he were, but this is just somebody who did a great job, and hats off to Sean Cummings, Ronnie Fredericks, and Michelle Baglioni for preserving unique New Orleans artwork created by Banksy.
I love stories like that because they're emblematic of, and I say this all the time, people that give a damn, right? They care. And
exactly.
they take that next step, and it's just those are difference makers.
Yeah, you think about a truck driver. You know, why would he care about art? But he cared enough to save it and then to connect himself with someone who could help him restore it. And this wasn't about
Absolutely.
Money. Didn't he get any money for this? It's just the satisfaction of seeing something preserved for all of us.
And congratulations to him and all that were involved. What a great story. That's a good way to end this Monday after the Saints won yesterday, Guy.
Right. Two good things at once.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us. As always, always enjoy the conversation. Guy Williams, President, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. Have a great week.
Oh, great to talk to you. You too.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. We will check in with Scoot when we return. Stay with us. So, folks, welcome back. You can join Bobby Hebert and Mike Dettillier for a second guest live on location at the Silver Slipper Casino in beautiful Hancock County, Mississippi. They'll break down the highs and lows from the Saints' Week 5 matchup against the Giants, plus talking Tigers. LSU's coming off a bye, and they host South Carolina at 6:30. Visit with them and the Saints coaches show, Mike Haas and Cajun Cannon. Will head coach Kellen Moore at 7 o'clock, and then followed at 7 by defensive coordinator Brandon Staley. We are joined by Scoot. Scoot, welcome.
Thank you. Manic Monday.
Thank you.
These showers are crazy. It looks like the sun's about to come out, and then all of a sudden, boom, a shower unloads. It's been kind of crazy. I mean, it looks nice right now, but it looked nice when right as I was leaving my apartment. It looked like it was going to be nice, and then boom, I hit a big shower driving into the city. So it's a little crazy, but looks like we're going to have a great weekend.
Definitely be careful out there. Did you go to the game?
Yeah, no, I didn't. I stayed home and watched every bit of it on TV, and it was exciting. We're going to talk a lot about that today. I mean, it felt really good. There were some things to still take a look at. Also, there's still a lot of talk about who should control the TV news, and we'll get into a little bit of that. And also, we'll talk about Gretna Fest and some of the things that happened over the weekend. It managed to get out there, so that was a lot of fun. So hey, it's going to be Manic Monday. If it's not manic for you yet, it will be.
Hold on. It's coming your way.
Fasten your seatbelt.
Stay tuned. Scoot's up next. Hope you enjoyed today's show. We'll see you in the morning.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.